What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast, both the last episode of 2019 and the first episode of 2020 this week. These episodes are brought to you by Auto Tempest. Listen, folks, you can make a lot of money in your life and you can be successful, but the one thing you have a finite amount of, no matter how successful and rich you get, is time. And Auto Tempest can save you time. Whether you're thinking about buying a car, selling a car, or just browsing around to see what's available, Auto Tempest brings all the major used car listing sites together into one place, plus a bunch of smaller ones, so you don't have to re-enter all your stupid search criteria over and over and over again. It'll even let you compare with results from all of Craigslist, eBay Motors, and Facebook Marketplace. Yes, that is correct, folks. It saves you a time. You don't have to check everywhere yourself individually. Auto Tempest is just it's a great resource to have, because anything that combines all the individual options the internet provides you into one easy to view area is good. AutoTempest.com. All the cars, one search. Check it out. We are also brought to you by the Thinkware dash cams. Their latest and best dash cam is called the U1000. It's now available. It has a native 4K front and 2K rear resolution cameras, so it can get inside your car and outside your car. It can save you money because it's got speed camera and red light camera alerts, or it can make you a safer driver because it actually has built-in lane departure and front collision warnings. With the convenient remote live view and parking impact alert cloud features, you can instantly check on your car or be notified of potential hit and runs. The U1000 and Thinkware's full range of dash cams are available online and in-store at Thinkware.com, Best Buy, and Amazon in both the U.S. and Canada. But if you want the deal, you got to go to Thinkware.com. Thinkware.com, here's the deal. Smoke20 is the code. SMOKE20. Smoke20 is the code at Thinkware.com, and you can get 20% off any regular price Thinkware dash cam. Code SMOKE20 at Thinkware.com. Last but most certainly not least is Crown & Caliber, guys. Crown & Caliber has been my watch sponsor for the last 2.5 years, and here's how they can help you. I'll just start off with the code. TST175 is the code, and that'll get you $175 off your first watch purchase at CrownAndCaliber.com. Now I'll tell you why it works. First off, in only very rare circumstances do you want to buy a watch brand new. Most of the time, you want to buy a watch pre-owned. Almost all of my watches are pre-owned watches, and I'll continue to buy pre-owned watches. They're taken care of really well, and Crown & Caliber has a staff of in-house technicians and watchmakers to make sure that the pre-owned watch you're getting works flawlessly, even if it's a vintage piece. Crown & Caliber is also great if you want to get out of a watch. Maybe you want to trade in, trade up, trade down, trade laterally, or just sell your watch. For instance, I am trying to condense my personal collection upwards, and so I want fewer, nicer watches. And so I just did a trade that involved a Rolex Submariner and a Rolex Explorer being traded for a AP Royal Oak, which is delightful, and a watch that I will wear more than the watch I traded out. That's important, wearing it. So I could do that deal easily with Crown & Caliber. When you're buying watches online, it's worth it to pay a little more to get that peace of mind. And with Crown & Caliber, you know the watch you see on the website is the watch you're getting, and you also know it's going to work. They guarantee it. So go to CrownAndCaliber.com, use code TST175, and get yourself $175 off your first watch at CrownAndCaliber.com. All right, on this episode of the show, we got Tony Kuroga from Car and Driver is in the studio. We talk about the Lightning Lap. We talk about the new to him, E30 convertible 325i he's bought, and I am immediately very jealous. And Tony's always got good stories. It's Tony Kuroga of Car and Driver on the Smoking Tire Podcast.
Here it is. It's the Smoking Tire Podcast. What's happening, everybody? It's finally stopped raining, dried out. and the city is a little less of a shit show today. Tony Caroga's here. Hello, buddy.
Hello.
Well, move the microphone closer to your mouth, like you said. Put it, like, you can move in.
Tony likes to lounge.
He likes to lounge, but you can lounge, but you got to bring the mic with you.
Okay.
Fuck it. I'm going to take the mic home with me. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We have been doing much podcasting this week. But Tony, yeah, but it's been, but like.
Am I going to get a tired Matt?
Yeah, but not because of that. I'm waiting for my, I had a little cold brew, like gas station-y cold brew thing. It should be kicking in pretty soon.
Oh, good.
Fear not. It's been, there's been a lot of like highs and lows that caused the adrenaline crash, or the crash at like 2 o'clock.
I'll try to keep it up.
Keep it the fuck up,
Tony. Keep it up.
God damn it. What's up with that E30 you rolled up in? That thing is sweet, buddy.
That's my new car.
Thing is rad.
I was in Michigan with the magazine. We have a new editor-in-chief. She started in April.
Yeah?
And
at Car and Driver Magazine?
Yep.
How's it going?
And it's going well. So I was offered the job of basically running the print magazine. And I didn't want to move back to Michigan because I love living here.
As you do.
And they said...
Michigan's strong second.
Okay.
Is there any real reason that Car and Driver has to be based in Ann Arbor still?
No, not really. But, I mean, it's sort of tradition, and we have a great test facility out there. We test in Chelsea at the Chrysler Proving Ground, which is close to the office. So it makes sense for us to be there. So that's easy. There's a good press fleet in Michigan still, too. So, I mean, it's not quite as big as the Los Angeles fleet.
I suppose it probably is second place for press fleets.
Yeah, exactly. And then maybe Miami and New York after that.
Yeah.
So anyway, they said, after I said no, they said, how about a year? And I'm such an L.A. guy that my neighbor was like, go see my intuitive. You need to go see my intuitive.
I'm sorry. So what? See my intuitive?
Yeah.
What
is psychic? It's a more semi-more, it's a euphemism for
so
psychic.
So were you going to buy a newer car spent money at the psychic and now you can only afford this?
Is that just an LA word for psychic because it's just not cool to say psychic
anymore?
I
guess, yeah. I think so. Yeah, so she was like, go see my intuitive.
My intuitive.
And I did because I've lived here long enough that I'm part of this whole LA thing. So
don't blame the city. Okay, continue.
Bro.
How long have you lived here?
Since 11, 8.5 years.
We've both lived here longer than you. We've not gone to see psychics.
Well, did your neighbor ever suggest it when you had a big problem?
I don't talk to my neighbors.
My mom does, but I still resist.
See, I love my neighbors. So
okay.
So I went, and she was like, a year sounds like a long time. How about 6 months? And I was like, that sounds better.
Mm-hmm.
And so on an intuitive's advice, I did a 6 month stint. So I did seven, it ended up being an extra month. So I did 7 issues of the magazine. And we have a new print director. His name is Eric Tingwall. And he's been on staff.
Yeah.
He's a great driver, great writer, super smart guy. He's a mechanical engineer and a journalism major.
Whoa.
So he's like built for us. I mean, he's built.
He's literally the only person I know who works in this industry that has like either of those things.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's amazing.
People email me all the time and they're like, should I get this journalism degree or like an engineering degree? Like, what should I do? I was like, you shouldn't do either of those things. You should really just start a blog or something.
Exactly. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
And I met him when he was still in college. He won a Edmunds, like, write an essay and you get to go to the Frankfurt show with them.
Oh, really?
And I met him probably in 07 and we were on the same bus and we started talking and I was like, you are actually like Chubba's dream candidate because Chubba always wants to hire mechanical engineers and then teach them to write. But if you already know how to write and you're a journalism major, you'll fucking kill it. And he has. He's done really well. He did some time at Jalopnik, I think when he was still in college, and then he was at Automobile, and he's been a Car and Driver for, I don't know, 6-7 years.
He's a good follow on Twitter.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy. So I did 7 issues. I just got back at the end of November.
So this is the welcome home present?
No, I bought this when I was in Michigan. So Michigan doesn't have very good weather.
Yeah.
In May, it rained 25 out of the 31 days of May. And I was I live there. I grew up there.
And that's the only month that it, like, might even be nice.
Yes, exactly. It used to be nice.
Your only chance for nice weather is May and June.
I mean, April showers bring May flowers.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. It just rained. Oof. And I was asking everyone, like, this is weird, right? Like, I haven't lived here in a while, but I don't remember it being this bad. And they're like, no, this is bad. And so I started looking for something fun to treat myself because it was just gray for the entire month. And so I found this E30 in Michigan. The guy who owned it was a dentist.
Perfect.
And he drove it. It was like his first nice gift to himself.
Why do we make the assumption that dentists...
Because they're so meticulous.
That they don't beat the shit out of their cars, though. What if your dentist is like, well, he's a dentist, and you go, ooh, it's like, and then it's like, cut to dentist on the weekend, like putting his fucking gloves on and lighting his fucking cigar and fucking fires it up with his foot on the floor and just bangs it off the rev
lift. No, not a dentist. The dentists are usually pretty mild mannered.
You know who you don't want to buy a car from?
Who?
A trial lawyer.
I'm late. God, I'm stressed.
A coked up trial lawyer is about the worst person you can buy a car
from. This motherfucker's going to get it today.
So yeah, so he owned it and he bought it for, he took European delivery. It still has a European delivery plate on it.
The fuck out of here. That's awesome.
So kept every single piece of paperwork.
So
are
you the second owner of this car?
I'm the second owner of this car.
Oh, that's great. That sounds like primo dollars, though. It's a primo dollar car.
It was expensive, but one sold. Jason Camisa sent me a note after I bought it because he's the E30 expert. So he sort of walked me through everything, what to look for and everything.
Can you remember from the short list? What is there to look for?
Because he was like, if it has a limited slip, it'll have a little tab. It'll have a little metal tab on it that starts with the letter S. But the guy had the Monroney, so it didn't matter. So I knew it had a limited slip. On the convertibles, you know, it's like typical wear things like top, dry leather. And this
is
car
a power
had
top.
No, this one's manual. He ordered a manual top.
Oh, nice. So just have to literally pick it up?
It's like a Miata,
that's
basically.
Fantastic.
It's like a big Miata one. And the guy owned it, or he bought it, because the salesman told him, don't get the power top.
Yeah.
This is much more reliable, and it's easy to put up and down. And it is. And I'm so
How many
happy.
Miles are on that?
When I bought it, there were like 28 and change.
Oh, that's
now
low.
There's 30.
That's very low.
Yeah.
So super low. That's an expensive car.
Yes, but so Jason told me, I've got a buddy. It's a small bumper car. I've got a big bumper car. Like 4 months after this, the Cabriolets went to small bumper, which is kind of a bummer because the big bumpers.
What year is
bad.
That?
91.
Oh, they went to small bumper for 92. Was there a 92?
No, this is in early 91. This was built in July or August of 90.
Oh,
and then
okay.
That fall they went to small bumper. But like I think the sedans and the coupes were small bumper in like 88
like already.
Or 89.
Yeah.
So this was the last holdout for the bumpers.
So, okay. I'm going to ask you off mic how much you paid for it because I'm curious. But
I need to get to that.
Oh,
so
sorry.
I'm not going to tell you.
Says,
but, so
fine.
Jason, I've got a friend who has one. And it's got 55,000 miles, but it's a really nice comp. He's about to put it up on Bring a Trailer. And that car sold for over 50% more than what I paid for my car.
Nice.
So
it was a convertible or a coupe?
A convertible.
Oh, nice.
It was a red convertible to Tanatier, but a small bumper car. So a later car, but similar condition.
Yeah. I can't believe how clear your rear window is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you pull up, I was like, is that a new top?
Those cars
it fits
came
really
with
well
a cover.
Still.
Those cars came with like this weird black cover, and it's still, of course, in the trunk because the guy kept everything.
You mean the tonneau cover?
No. It's a cover that just goes over the plexi window to cover it from the sun. Yeah.
When you park it
really?
Outside?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's
shit,
got these two little...
Before.
Yeah, I'd never seen it.
That's
and I was
hilarious.
Like, what is this? And the guy showed me. And no, he was really great. He drove the car for like 3 years, never drove it in the winter.
Yeah.
Put like 18,000 miles on it. Then it just sat from like 1994, 1995 until this past spring when I bought it.
So
he put
what did
a few
it, how
miles
much did it need
it.
When you bought it? A lot.
I mean, I don't think he'd ever changed any of the fluids.
Oh, God.
I made him try. Camisa was like, the timing belt's about to snap.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
fucking drive that car.
Yeah.
And so the owner flatbedded it to a shop that I knew, and the shop went through it and was like, yeah, it needs like all new fluids. It might need, you know, new hoses. But they were like, everything looks shockingly good.
Yeah.
But I went through everything, and I did all the belts. I did new water pump, timing belt.
So once you took delivery, it was a couple grand to make it ready to drive, probably.
Yeah, but I did it myself and with some of the guys in the office. We have a lift in the office, so
oh, nice.
I took full advantage of that.
I mean, I have never worked on an E30. Are they tough to work on?
No.
Not really?
They're pretty easy.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're pretty straightforward. I mean, for a German car.
There's a good amount of room under the hood, for sure.
There's some clearance issues in some parts, but... It's pretty easy. It's not a Miata.
Is it an IS?
No, but it's that spec. I mean, it's the 168 horsepower, 2.5 liter six.
You've driven coupes, I imagine, right? I
mean, yes, I have. Yeah. Not a lot, though.
How rigid is it compared to the coupe?
It's 80s.
Is it jiggly?
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Does it bother you?
No, I don't care. Because I wanted a convertible. I wanted a four-seat convertible with rear-wheel drive that was a stick that wasn't American.
Yeah.
So that's basically that car.
Yeah. Because I kind of want an E30, but I am trying to figure out, like, I don't want to pay a premium for a coupe because I don't really give a shit if it's a coupe. So
you should
I'm actually kind of looking at sedans.
You should drive this.
I probably should.
It's pretty sweet. The engine is so ridiculously smooth.
I love the 325iS engine.
It's shocking.
So good.
It's like a 12-cylinder. It's so smooth.
And it's really just fun to use. But my R129, my SL, it was a little jigglier than I wanted it to be.
Oh, then this will really upset you. Yeah, that's a solid car compared to that.
For a convertible, they are. And when you put the hard top on it, it was rock solid. Right, but without it, it was a little jiggly.
But my other current convertible is a Miata, and this is more rigid than that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's pretty good.
But it's an NA Miata. It's not very rigid.
I saw a guy driving around today in a red 325 convertible M Technique with a factory hard top on it, which I haven't seen in forever. It's kind of weird looking,
actually.
You'll
probably see that at Radwood again this
probably,
weekend.
Probably, yeah. Well, we were with Derek on the show yesterday. There's a 325iX coupe with the M-Technic body kit on it parked on my street, and I left a note on it. It's been parked there for a week. Do you know this car?
Nice. No.
It's an X.
Oh yeah, I know. I mean, I know. I know what it is. It's an all-wheel drive one.
No. I don't know if you knew this particular car though. Because it's literally parked by my house for like a while, and I left a note on it that's still there today.
It looks pretty nice.
My brother had a 325iS in high school, I think. College, and it was just so much nicer to drive than any of the like old cars I drove in high school or my friends had. It leaned a lot, but I remember going, oh, wow, the front and the back seem more connected to each other than...
The steering is crazy slow. Yeah. It's 3.9 turns locked
a
lot.
Yeah, yeah,
like, you're, like, to make a right turn, you're, like, turning it, you know, an entire turn.
It's really bad. But it had a diff, too, and, like, it would step out in the rain, but it felt like... Like, I feel like it was teaching me about driving before I knew that I needed to learn about driving.
Right.
Like, 17
Well, that's
or
what
18.
Those cars do.
It's good.
That's what those cars
do.
Yeah. I really enjoyed racing, doing all the things we did.
Oh, yeah,
with the
you guys had that
I
car
raced
VIR.
VIR.
Yeah,
24
right.
hours of VIR.
Right.
And honestly, it was a great race car.
Yeah,
it was like good balance, like accurate steering. Like it felt reasonably solid, even though it was a steaming hunk of shit. You know, it ran good.
It had a serious cage in it. It was a cage that was valid for chump. Stage rally and like something else.
Was this really for rallying?
Yeah, so it
must have been really nice.
The dude who built it originally built it as a rally car. We then bought it and used it as a car. We lifted it an inch or two inches.
I love the art.
And I tried to drive it over a mountain. We painted that with like house paint.
Yeah, it looks good.
And then we turned it into a race car. It worked. I mean,
no,
it's
the art car livery. I mean, it looks like an art car.
It does. Was it Frank Stella?
That sounds
whose
right.
art car is that? Can you see if that's the Frank Stella one? Because we did a pretty fucking good job, if I can say so myself. I believe we were going after that.
Yes.
Which is, the one, that one right there. The E46 GTR M3 with the sort of streakiness. I think that's French.
Which artist was that?
This one I do not like. This, the white.
The John Baldessari. Pull those over, Zach. I thought it was Frank's. Oh, Jeff Koons. The Jeff Koons M3 GT2 is what we were going for there.
Frank Stella was the one who did like the comic style, wasn't he?
Go back, Zach. There's a
super cool.
Oh, you mean Royal Lichtenstein?
Oh, maybe it's Lichtenstein.
That's Lichtenstein did the comic book one. Yeah, go all the way down. David Hockney 850. I love. Was it? Andy Warhol. Frank Stella. Oh, is the blueprinty one? The 3.0 CSL.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's the sort of. I guess blueprint is that the best term for it?
Checked graph paper.
Looks like graph paper.
Looks like
I guess.
Graph paper. Yeah. Schematic. I don't know.
Yeah, you should get one. You would like it. I don't know if you'd keep it forever.
An E30.
They're not very fast.
No. But they're like the right size for LA.
They're tiny.
Yeah,
they're really narrow. Yeah.
And my wife likes square things. She likes boxy shit, and so she probably could get down with it too.
Yeah, I didn't
you
love
ever drive an automatic.
Yeah, they're horrible.
They are?
Yeah.
Really horrible?
They take the zip out of it immediately, yeah. Because the car has no torque. Because it's pre-variable valve timing.
My wife's a fucking pussy, and she won't drive stick, even though she totally can. I taught her to drive stick, and she was good at it, and then she just didn't want to.
It makes it a legitimately slow car.
I know.
It goes from being like a just under 8-second car to like being an over almost a 10-second car.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Although the
automatics have no value.
I know. Well, that's the thing. I can buy an automatic for $4,000,
exactly,
you know, for nothing.
Right.
Yeah. I really like a lot of the things about them.
It's a perfect size.
It's such a functional design and shape. And it's like a 911.
It was an expensive car in its day, so the build quality's there.
Yeah, what was the money on the Monroney?
32 doing European delivery.
In 91.
In 91.
So that was like, 60. That's pretty expensive. That's a $60,000 car. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think my 94 Mustang was like 23.
Right,
GT.
Right. Yeah. Which makes sense, because I mean, that's where a Mustang would line up now, basically.
It'd fucking look, you know, crazy.
Double it.
That's cool, though. And is that your daily right now?
No. I have the Miata. I didn't sell the Miata, and I still have the 911.
Oh, yeah, the 993.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's lovely. The prices, I think, have settled on those just a little bit.
Oh, completely. If anything, they might have gone down a little.
Have they?
But I mean, I bought it
just before
the jump.
Yeah.
I bought it like six months before the jump, so I don't really care.
And
I don't really want to sell it. No, that's one of the Gunterworks cars that I tested.
I was going to say, those are some serious.
Is that the Gunterworks 2.0?
No, that was the first Gunterworks one, which you probably drove like 2 years ago.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm driving the 2.0 next Friday.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tested. They let us test that one. They just tossed us the keys. Unlike Singer, who's like, you know, they won't let us test anything.
Yeah, Chris Harris was in here last week, and, you know, he works with Singer, and he promised he would put in a good word. I haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah, because I've talked to their, I mean, what's his name? Lee Keen.
Yeah.
He tested one for Road and Track.
Yeah, at Laguna.
But he also tested it with us. Well, for Road and Track. Yeah, for some of the testing I was doing for Road and Track.
Because he was like, Laguna Seca, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we got numbers on it, or at least Road and Track got numbers on it.
Yeah. It was as fast as a 458 around Laguna Seca.
Really?
That is what I remember from that. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a quick car.
Yeah, no, they're fucking like rad, but they don't have...
No, they're all customer cars.
Yeah, and they don't need the press.
No,
they just get it anyway.
Exactly.
And Gunther works like they do.
Right.
So their 2.0 car has a new front suspension, has wider front wheels.
Has
even wider front wheels.
Because I think the one I drove had like 295s
in
front.
Yeah, something like that. It's crazy. It has even wider front wheels now. And it has a bare carbon body.
Oh, that's awesome.
It has the one I'm driving.
Have
I think
you been
it's
to
called
their
the
shop?
Greenwich Commission.
Have you
no.
been to their shop?
No,
it's cool. Yeah, I mean, they do all the work there. It's all being done there.
Because, I mean, they're a spinoff of Vorsteiner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, of the wheel company. Yeah.
Yeah. And they do like carbon bodies and stuff like that. So that's where their carbon sort of stuff comes from.
This car was at Luft last year, and it drew attention.
It's crazy.
It deserved
looking.
It. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
really
yeah.
cool.
The fenders
though.
And the quality is really great.
Yeah, like the weave lines up in a nice way, and yeah.
It was really fun to drive too. It was not shit.
No, it was not shit at all.
Very good.
The cool thing was, I mean, they tossed me the keys, and they were like, "Yeah, you can have it for like the weekend." And so I tested it, and yeah.
Wow,
so I had it like an
weekend?
Entire weekend.
Oh, that's baller. Yeah, I'm not doing that. You know what I'm driving next week though in Palm Springs? The Saline S1. A real car. I'm driving the race car, the S1 Cup.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called. S1 Cup or S1 GT4.
Is this still Steve Saline's company?
I think so.
Yeah.
I believe it is, because they offered a meet and greet or something with Steve, and I can't say I really care much about that, although I am interested in learning about the car. Well, they're trying to do all these like sidebar experiences, you know? It's like other companies do. This is not just Saline, but they're like, let's set up an interview. And I'm like, keys to car.
No bullshit.
I
hate that. Yeah.
I don't want the tap dance.
I don't want to go eat dinner with you.
No.
Yeah. Just let me drive the fucking car.
Yeah, I want to eat dinner with my wife.
Right.
Then I'll show up at the track and I'll drive the car.
Right.
It's literally taken me like 3.5-4 months to arrange a drive of this car. But it's not the road car I'm driving, it's the race.
Isn't that thing based on what's that German company that would, I think it's like Artera or
Artega GT,
yes,
is that it?
Yeah, with the VR6.
Now that
isn't that
didn't
I think that car know, is it, based on that loosely.
Really?
Or in some way it's based on that. I think.
Now that's interesting.
I don't remember where I heard that, but
I mean,
because I don't know anything about that
car. I wouldn't be shocked. But this is what I'm. This is the thing that I'm driving, which is the race car.
That looks pretty
and apparently
badass.
It seems it's supposedly pretty cool.
That looks badass.
It's, you know, it's mid engine. It's like 400 horsepower. What is the John Player Special looks nice. That's befitting. I think that works. I mean, it's a Lotus Evora esque.
Right.
That Artega. Now that you say Artega GT.
I think it's somewhat based
Zach,
on
can
that,
you get a
but
picture of the Artega,
that.
Artega, Artega GT.
Yeah, this is real fast. 450 horsepower, 2.2 liter turbo.
It's a Ford engine.
Carbon fiber body or composite. 6-speed sequential with paddles. That'd be thin.
It might be.
Racing stuff. Would you want me to look up?
It might be like a race engine built by Mountain or something. It's like a Artega. Oh, shit. It's the same fucking car, isn't it?
I don't
know. Oh, God damn it. That's the same looking. That car is awful similar, bro. Can we get a back and forth? Oh, shit. That looks a lot like the same car.
I'm sure they'll deny it up and down.
Oh, no. So, wait. So, that's the Saline version.
This is great. I like it.
This is
like this
journalism.
I like this real time.
Oh my God! If you change the front bumper, that looks awful. Like the same.
Are the
cars
the same? Just more angular, but it's like.
Are the doors the same?
They're pretty close.
Yeah, they got that curve at the back. The doors are the same.
That Artega GT is a 2011.
It's been around for a while. Yeah, those are cool. I never drove one, but I heard good things, and they were powered by a VR6. I think a 3.6 liter or 3.2 liter.
I've heard
VR6.
The name before, but I don't think I've ever seen one in person.
Well, they never came to the States. Oh, they never came to the States.
Oh, I hope it's sufficiently different. Is that you, Zach? What is that? What kind of fucking ringer is that? Just a random alarm?
It's an alarm, but I don't know. It's going at 5.
I mean, this Artega GT is kind of cool, but wow, that's awful similar.
Okay.
So here's a profile shot, and then go to the Saline. Oh, shit. That's pretty similar, man.
Let's see. Can you separate the windows?
The shape of the greenhouse? No, we can't split screen. It would be a little more complicated.
It looked a little janky, but I can. I mean, the Saline looks, you know, it's got more angles and this little, like, dressed up.
It's got a different tail and different front end for sure. But
yeah.
I mean,
that's awful similar.
Because they showed that car at the LA show, I think, 2 years ago. Uh-huh. And I heard that it was an Artega GT deep down.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because before I go drive it, now I might have a few questions.
I'm sure they'll deny it up and down and be like, Artega,
I mean, they
who?
Probably will, but like, look at, I mean, those photos really don't lie.
Right.
That's an awful similar looking vehicle. I mean, even if it's been massaged and tweaked, that is a very...
There you go.
That's pretty fucking close, homie. I don't know.
Look at the door.
I gotta say, the similarities are definitely there.
There you go.
Oh, shit. Well, I guess there'll be some questions at Thermal next week, huh?
Are you going next week?
Actually, it's the week after next, I think. What's the 17th, 18th? That's the week after next, right?
Yeah. I'm driving RS Q8 next week.
Are you?
Yeah.
So that's an Audi Urus?
Yeah, basically yeah, right? With the RS6 engine.
Oh, cool.
RS7 engine, the 591 horsepower version of that engine. So that should be cool.
Yeah. I actually think the Q8 looks better than the Urus.
Oh, I agree.
Not a big
100%.
Urus fan.
I'm not a big Urus fan either.
No. They're nice to drive. I enjoyed actually driving the Urus when I was in it, but I don't... Looking at it, it does zero for me.
Yeah, it was ridiculously fast at VIR, at Lightning Lap.
Oh,
like, it was
Lightning
crazy,
Lap.
Crazy, crazy fast.
Can you talk about Lightning
Lap?
Yeah, absolutely. How much can we talk about?
Oh, we can talk
all,
everything
all
about
of it,
it,
right?
Yeah, it's been out for a couple months.
Oh, cool. I have been... Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there's the Urus.
Wow, you really got a big fucking lineup, huh? Senna, 1L EZ01, Urus, Supra, I see a GT3 RS, AMG GT Sedan, and then I can't see anything after that. There's a lot of
Veloster
fucking cars.
And we had an original NSX.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Zanardi one with a blower on it.
Who brought that out?
Acura.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they have that.
Yeah, they bought it from somebody and it had the blower on it, and they just left the blower on it.
They have a 91 regular NSX
yes.
press car
right.
here in
a
LA.
Red one.
It's
yeah.
red. Yeah.
I just saw that. One of the road and track guys had it during
somebody
the LA
was
show.
Who was driving it?
What's his name? Chris
Perkins.
Perkins.
Yeah,
yeah.
He drove it. He brought it to Bill's. So of the selection, what were some of your highlights?
What did I drive? I drove the NSX, which was a ton of work.
The new one or the old one?
The old one.
Yeah.
Just because no power steering.
It was a 91?
Crazy. Yeah. It was a 99, so it was a Zanardi one.
Oh, they took power steering out for Zanardi.
For Zanardi, yeah. And Zanardi was a little stiffer, but compared to modern cars, it's not very stiff at all.
Right?
There's still a lot of body roll.
Yeah.
And that car was really fun, but it was a lot of work. Mm-hmm. What else did I drive? This was a while ago. I drove the
I've always kind of thought those NSXs are kind of tough to drive fast,
actually. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not the most stable car.
Yeah.
I mean, the tail will come out if you're stupid about it.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, it's like a formula car. It's really sensitive to load transfer.
Yeah.
And if you're not gentle with it and you're stupid about it, it'll step the tail out and spin. But, I mean, it was cool. It was really fun.
Was that your slowest car there?
Yeah, I think it was the slowest. But, well, the slowest car I drove. It ran like a 307, I think, 307.1.
Is that, what is that, Zach, is that list ordered by lap time or anyway, or is it ordered by price?
Oh, this is the price. They do the price. Level, like, right.
The cheapest?
No, you do LL1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There might be a master that has it. Oh, I drove the Camry.
That was the Camry.
Readers are always complaining that all the cars we test aren't like, you know, they want something that they can relate to.
Yeah.
And so we were like, okay, we'll get a Camry.
We'll throw a Camry in there. I mean, yeah. Did the Camry do okay?
It was fine. It wasn't very good. The biggest problem it had was there's a delay when you stomp on the gas mm-hmm. when you're exiting a corner, and it just won't give you any power for a minute.
Oh,
well, or for like a like what feels like an eternity, but is really like probably half a second.
Long enough that like you're like, ugh.
You notice it. Yeah. Like, this is dumb.
Yeah, that sucks.
But it's quick in a straight line. I mean, the Camry V6 has 301 horsepower. I think it still was over 130 on the straight.
Really? Yeah. That's pretty good for a Camry.
So hey, it put up a respectable time.
Was anything ridiculously disappointing?
Oh, these are not in order of speed. I was like, wow, the NSX beat the Senna?
Yeah. What, you must be looking at some weird,
strange
Yeah, I'm looking at some weird carandriver.com thing.
Yeah,
the NSX ran a 307.
So yeah. That's kind of slow.
So KC set a new record with the Senna.
Really?
At 234.9. I mean, they don't keep official records.
Yeah.
Because you have to be in a race, you know, in a sanctioned race
to
set a record. And the configuration we run is kind of weird, too. It's not the configuration you guys ran. If you, instead, on the back straight, there's that hard right that uh-huh. goes into the Patriot course.
Yeah.
So we run that.
That's and the then Grand, that, right?
Yes. We run Grand course.
Yeah, which is combined.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I think we ran...
You ran full course.
It's weird because full course is badly named.
Right. But it's the one that most race series run.
Yeah, yeah. How much faster was that than last year?
That beat the GT2 RS by, I think, 3 seconds and change.
Whoa. Oh, it's five times the cost, six
right,
times
exactly.
the cost. So, yeah, it should.
And ZR1 ran a 39.2 or 39.1. So that's, that's even less
money. That's where really the money
That's crazy value. Yeah, it's crazy value.
But you got to fucking be somebody to drive a ZR1 at a number like that.
That was me.
Was that you?
Yeah.
That's a good fucking number. That was very good.
It was slower than Mero, but I ran in much different conditions than him.
What were the conditions?
But he's also an amazing driver.
But he's also Jim Mero.
He's also an amazing driver.
How was the Urus on track?
I didn't drive it, but I heard good things. It's got giant brakes. It's got the giant 17.3-inch front rotors, which look crazy.
RS6
when the wheel is
gets
off.
Them, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so nuts. Oh, you drove RS6, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I saw Derek last weekend, and he said he was going to be on the show.
Yeah, it was. RS6 is really cool. I almost rolled a Urus on the track at the press launch.
Where was the launch?
At Thermal. You know the active sway bar thing where it can decouple the sway bars?
The 48-volt
Right. System. So I was loaded up in a third gear corner at about 65, 70 miles an hour, and it decoupled the sway bars mid-corner, and the thing went from leaned over in a corner to all of a sudden two wheels in the air, and I like cranked the wheel back the other way and fucking plopped it down, and the dash just lit up a Christmas tree, like full active suspension failure.
Right.
I was like, maybe it doesn't like this.
It's those Italian cars.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. And then their cup holders were tiny. And I was like, you built this huge car and has tiny cup holders.
They had some minor issues during the lapping, but nothing like that.
They made that car disappear real quick.
I think they had some warning lights, but nothing that really affected the car's performance. What else did I drive? I drove that Cayenne Turbo, which was pretty amazing.
Dude, this is 5 seconds faster than the NSX.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I know the NSX
like
is old, but it's
faster.
8 seconds. I thought the NSX ran at 304.
307.
No, they ran at 307.
8 seconds. Okay. I mean, that's just
no,
impressive.
I mean, that's, and it was on Corsas, too.
Was it?
Yeah, there's an N-spec Corsa.
That's awesome.
Porsche-approved tire.
That's
that
hilarious. I drove the Cayenne Turbo SE Hybrid.
Coupe,
which was bonsai fast.
That's like the 671 horsepower. Yeah, and it weighs like 6,000 pounds. Yeah,
so
it's incredible.
Stupid. But it has rear steer, so it like is actually kind of agile.
Yeah, no, this one had rear steer. Yeah. This one had the carbon ceramics, it had the Corsas, and rear rear steer.
Shockingly agile.
The air suspension.
But you know what? I'm not about the automatic gearbox in those. When you take the PDK out
of
the Porsche,
out of the equation,
it doesn't really feel Porsche anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it was the brakes on that thing were so impressive, though. Because I kept braking where I thought I should be braking. Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, I got to have more balls and go deeper.
It was like 5,400 pounds or something,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's an odd choice, but okay.
What else did I drive? I drove the ZL1 1LE automatic, and that went a little quicker, I think around a half second or 8/10 of a second quicker than the manual ZL1 1LE, which I also drove.
I'd rather have the manual, but they're that's so much car.
It is. It's like, fantastic.
And you can if you live in hot racetrack area, like if you're in California and you want to hammer the shit of something in a hot day, that's a good choice.
And you could own everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so good. And it just keeps going and going and going and going. You can just beat on it endlessly.
Yeah. Even the supercharged one, you can beat on it like no problem. Are people buying those? I don't see a lot of them around.
No. No.
Maybe a good buy.
Yeah, the previous generation, whatchamacallit?
The Z28s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are coming down. Yeah. Those are coming down to like the high 30s for nice ones.
Yeah, you can probably find a brand new one on a lot somewhere with no air conditioning. Like,
right, yeah. No one fucking wants it. Yeah.
But that's a good option for track days, that ZL1 1LE, because you can you don't have to do anything.
No.
Just get an alignment and just go to the track and that's it. You're good to go.
No, that's such a good car.
Oh, and speaking of alignments, after our performance car of the year with the C8, Bose.
Oh, yeah, you did that with Road and Track.
Yeah, that's so cool. Which was super fun.
Yeah.
And Bose noted that the C8 had a lot of adjustable camber opportunities. And I guess Motor Trend went out with Randy driving and took 3 seconds off a lap time by fucking with the camber.
Right.
Like, holy shit.
Well, that car, the ZL1 1LE and the previous, the C7 Corvettes, all had a track setup for alignment. And it was way more aggressive. You wouldn't want to drive it on the street.
I remember having to drive the ZL1 1LE
on
the street.
It was just annoying.
Shit.
Yeah, right.
And it darted all over the road.
Because it probably had that setup. It probably had
crazy tram line.
The track setup.
It was, because we did VIR and then the street. And it was a terrible, horrible mess.
Yeah, it was probably maximum camber, towed in a bunch. Yeah.
Like full darty settings.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's such a great test, though. Any other highlights?
What else did I drive?
600LT.
This is a while ago. We did this back in May. So yeah. My memory is shit.
GT3 RS.
Yeah, Casey drove that.
Yeah.
I drove that. Where's the master list?
I drove the
Stelvio Quadrifoglio.
Oh, God.
One of the funniest cars I've ever driven.
What about it?
I mean, imagine driving a Nissan GTR standing up is basically what it's like.
I drove the
four-wheel drive system tries to send power front and back, and you can feel it just rocking, and the car just rocks, and it's pretty unthreatening because it's just understeers.
Yeah.
So it's hilarious. It's got great brakes. It's got great power. I loved that thing. I mean, it wasn't great by any means.
Yeah, just good for a laugh.
But just hilarious and just so non-threatening. You could go fast so quickly and easily. It was so good. I really like that.
The four-cylinder Stelvio I drove had the craziest turbo lag of any modern car I've driven.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I forget who said it, but somebody called that a tuner Mazda CX-5.
It was. Yeah, I think it was me, actually. It might have been me. Oh man, the new Miata, the new engine in that thing. Oh, that's the jam.
Yeah,
the new Miata motor is
right. The higher
real nice. 1,000 RPM goes a long way.
What else did I drive?
I saw a Genesis G70. Did you guys get a C8? Was it too early?
No, it was too early. We did this back in May. I was begging them for a C8. I was begging for a GT500, but all way too early.
No, it was too early. Even us in September, the C8 was babysittered.
We had one right around that same time because we did our 10 best testing.
Yeah.
In September.
And did
it
you
had
to
a
drive
hammer
it?
The whole time. Yeah, but not very much. Yeah. We did do a track test with it at a racetrack called Grattan, which is actually a pretty good racetrack in Michigan, against a C7.
How did it end up?
It was not that much quicker than the C7. It was a second quicker. And the thing is, the C7 was on Super Sports. It wasn't even on the new Michelins.
But the Corvette supposedly does. The new C8 doesn't have some special tire. It's got some regular tires.
Oh, true. But I mean, the C7 that it was up against. I mean, it was up against an older generation Michelin versus the new generation.
Oh, okay, yeah. I didn't suspect that it would have been much faster. Yeah, I think right. I think you
and
don't
I talked
really
to Kamisa about that too, and he was not yeah. surprised that it wasn't yeah. that much quicker.
No, we're gonna see the big difference when you do the
performance version.
The 700-800 horsepower one is when you're gonna see the potential. That platform was very under stress with
oh,
the
yeah.
current engine.
Completely.
Yeah.
yeah. And it I was, liked it. I love driving it on the
oh,
road.
Oh, it was nice. Yeah.
And it was kinda quiet. It wasn't as obnoxious and brash as its
no.
predecessor.
No. It was actually a little too mellow for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. No, I'm old, so yeah. I'm over 40, so you probably haven't
there.
Turned 40 yet.
I'm getting on. I just turned 38. I'm getting
something
there.
Happens as soon as you turn 40.
You don't want,
you don't want
anymore.
Noise anymore.
Well, I mean I have had a couple days where I've been stuck in traffic in the last month in either in an old car, and when I get home or wherever, my brain is
yeah,
melted.
Right. You just feel like shit.
Melted. Yeah, yeah, I'm yeah. just so tired.
That's how that Gunter works was. That Gunter was just yeah. so loud. I wore earplugs the entire time.
Did
I
you really?
Yeah.
I my Lambo, which if you're moving, you know, on highway speeds, it settles and it's actually fairly civil and whatever. But if you're stuck in traffic, it idles at 1500
oh,
RPM.
Oh God! I'm just, so it's
like, and it's just like. I'm not, I realize it sounds like I'm complaining about it.
I love this.
I'm
yeah,
not,
I love hearing
it
this.
It just it literally. It, by the time you get home, you're like your head is like ringing.
Right. This is a very relatable.
The car is
this
fine.
Is a very relatable problem.
Car is fine. Car doesn't complain, but it's a little melty.
What's that geared like on the freeway?
Top fifth gear at like 85 miles an hour is like 3,600 RPM.
Oh, it's pretty tall for an old car.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh, I guess it was probably geared to go 180.
It
so,
was,
yeah.
And it revs to 8,000. So right. It's 182 miles an hour at 8,000 RPM in fifth
right.
gear, which is fucking wild.
I'm not sure I'd want to do that.
No. Yeah. I did like 125 in it once. I'm like, oh, I'm good. That's cool.
It feels like it's lifting
roll
off the
it out.
The steering got way
coast
lighter.
Coast it out. Yeah. We did, in my Safari, I did 125 in the dirt at El Mirage, which
oh,
was
nice.
Very sketchy.
Oh, I saw you took that up into the snow last
Dude,
week. Yeah.
There was so much snow on
yeah,
Angel's
no,
Crest. It was
crazy. Yeah.
I got a little stuck. We had to do a little. I had a little panic. It was a little sketchy with me and Marco. But, like, look how the snow is so deep. Like, I was, like, plowing it.
That's a great photo.
I know. That was a good I look. That was my Alpine sweater, too. Look, I'm going to a chalet and shit. But, like, that sweater was all I had those that sweater and sneakers and, like, no gloves, nothing.
Right, yeah.
So I was
that's
like
me in Michigan. I forgot how quickly winter arrives.
Yeah.
It snowed like 8 to 10 inches on November 8th. I didn't have this is the jacket I took because I had been there since like the summer. I didn't have any gloves. I didn't have a hat. Like my coworkers were like doing like a coats for kids type thing for me. Where
oh,
they were giving me
God.
Their old coats and gloves and stuff.
I've flown to New York for meetings and forgotten that I get on the plane in LA and get off the plane somewhere else. And I had like a hoodie. I was like, oh, it's December. Shit, and
fuck.
It was freezing.
I got nothing.
Yeah. Freezing.
Yeah, when the jetway hits you, and the jetway in the summer hits you with this horrible humidity, and then in the winter it's just pain. And
that's,
here it's always
even,
the same.
Even
it's
that,
so lovely.
Even the dirty ass LAX air when those doors open at baggage claim, it's like,
no, it smelled so sweet when I got back here.
Great.
I was so happy.
It's so good.
I was so happy.
It's so good.
Yeah, what else did I drive?
Well,
I
this is the list.
What is it? Genesis
down.
G70 Dynamic, which is
that.
One of my favorite cars of last year. That thing rules. Way better than the 3 Series. The Supra. Did you enjoy Supra?
I didn't drive it that much. I drove it on the street a bunch in Michigan, but
I saw,
Michigan doesn't have
Did you do
roads.
This 94 Supra versus new Supra?
Yeah,
was
yeah.
That you?
Scott Oldham did that. Yeah. That's a good story.
Yeah. The photography looked great.
Yeah, yeah. Jessica Walker shot that. She's a great photographer.
I wonder. I need to go read that. I didn't. I feel guilty. I haven't read it. But the
yeah,
photography
the photos
was
are
nice.
Great. I read that yesterday, maybe
yeah?
the day before.
What was the conclusion? Give us the lowdown.
You know, it's an old car.
That's usually
surprisingly quiet too, because cars used to be pretty quiet.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so Scott writes about how quiet the 2JZ is, and
in the 90s, the idea that you would take exhaust and pump more of it into the cabin after spending all that money insulating
right,
the
doing
cabin.
Doing NVH, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Those no, NVH guys are fucking really interesting. I met one of them at the Hyundai thing last week, and I was like, he's like, basically just drive around and listen for rattles and then try and like pinpoint where they're coming from, and that's his whole job. I was like, oh my God, that's
that
crazy.
That doesn't sound like fun. I hope he gets paid
It's one
well.
Of those jobs that sounds like it could be fun for 5 minutes,
right.
And then it's terrible.
Yeah, you want to go, yeah. He takes you to work for a day, and then you never do
you
it
go,
again.
Okay,
yeah.
Check this one off the fucking list. Have you had one of those?
Where no, I've never driven one of those. I drove one of these.
No, no, I meant more like a job that sounded like a good idea for 5 minutes and that you
no,
when you got
no,
there.
No, no. I've done this. I've been a car driver for 16 years in
That's
March.
Fucking wow.
Yeah, I mean,
That's
you find
amazing.
Something that you like and
yeah.
you stick with it.
Find a way to not get fucking fired.
Right. Like going to Michigan for 7 months.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm going to have to suck this one up if I want to keep doing this.
Yes, exactly.
That's funny.
I know how good I have it.
Yeah.
I don't take it for granted.
Did you bring your cars to Michigan with you?
No. No.
Just straight
here.
Press cars.
Yeah. 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 Nice. And they have, you know, there are like 25 writers in the office.
Uh-huh.
So we have... I think we have like 16 long-termers.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, you know, another 10 short-term cars that are there for 2 weeks. So,
oh, nice.
It was nice. That was great. I like to cycle through everything, but we had like a McLaren 720S, and that's Michigan best. Doesn't have any fun roads. And
what
so
you,
I
so
drove
what do you
it.
Do with it?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this is the most spectacular car possibly I've ever driven, and it's completely wasted here. Yeah, like I pulled
you know
out onto the
got,
freeway
though,
and
the
got
bumps,
up to 120,
though.
And you're like, ooh, cool.
Yeah. It's good on bumpy roads, though, and Michigan has
oh, yeah.
a lot of
no,
those.
No, it's the car's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then, but, you know, the off-ramp, which is the only exciting part, had a car yeah. in front of it, so I was like, oh, great. The one corner that I could enjoy here.
Have you been up to, like, Traverse City?
There are a few twisty roads
yeah,
up there.
Like
yeah,
by
but
where
they don't last
is,
very long.
They keep trying to invite me to come up there and drive
it's
their
roads.
It's
beautiful up there. That's a really beautiful
nice.
Part of Michigan.
Yeah.
It's really
but
nice.
That's like hours away.
Oh, yeah. That's like yeah. a four and a half hour drive from
yeah.
the airport.
So, but at least you get track time, though. Do you get track time at Groton or something for the
I didn't
the
go
720?
To Groton. I forget why. I was working on the magazine, and I couldn't get out that day because it was right during close.
Yeah. Oh.
So I couldn't get out that day, sadly. But, I mean, I did Lightning Lap, which is 3 days of VIR, which is pretty special.
Not so bad.
Yeah, it's not so bad. I'm not complaining. I don't complain about a lack of track time.
Did you guys break anything very heavily at Lightning Lap, or not really?
Well, it rained on one part of the track, and the guy who drove the Supra had a little off.
Yep.
Went into the tire wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, crunchy?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't totaled.
Was it done for the test?
No, we probably could have still driven it, but... I think. I don't remember how bad. It was all cosmetic damage.
Oh.
But it went into a tire wall.
At a
low rate of speed, but still going into a tire wall is pretty damaging.
At P. Cody, we only had one off.
Oh,
and
yeah?
There was no
impact. Was it in one of the minivans?
No, dude. With fucking Ross Bentley was mobbing those minivans with P. Vody. And, you know, did you read that test? We
no.
learned the old shitty caravan that had a short wheelbase Dodge Caravan
right.
that had a lot of miles on it was the fastest
that
one.
That was the hot setup.
Yeah. But Ross discovered that he thought the Pacifica Hybrid would have been faster, but you couldn't fully defeat stability control on it
gotcha.
At all.
Right.
And it just kept killing the power.
Right.
And it just wouldn't let you do anything. Whereas the
what are they thinking, making that undefeatable?
The caravan, you can turn it on without your foot on the brake still, and it's one button for traction full off.
Yeah,
like the cars we rent that are
right. Yeah, the old
I think
ones.
Pretty
yeah,
new.
Yeah, right.
And it's just like
right. they
turn
still
the
make
key,
them, but
it just
it's the old
on,
design.
Yeah,
yeah.
With but aren't there modern rules where you have to like you have to have your foot on the brake before you can start the car after the whole Prius situation?
I said it's only for push button
start. I think it's for push button start. Yeah, if it so it's
a key
car.
Yeah,
it's like
fine.
A fob
yeah,
twist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's the way the workaround
right.
is the key.
I love it.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's fucking silly as hell.
Car just seems so
drive?
Bare bones.
Scroll down more.
No, the off was the McLaren LT. Actually, it became a bit of a dirt scooper.
Oh, I drove the 911 T.
I love that.
That's
car.
A sweet car.
That's a fun
that
little
is
car.
Such a sweet car.
BBI's got a package that brings that up to 600 horsepower for
what?
Like 10K.
What?
Yeah, it's the same motor as the Carrera S and stuff. So you just do like turbos, intercoolers, and some tuning and exhaust, and it's 600 horsepower.
And
rear drive.
The one we had was what 95,000 MSRP.
Yeah,
so you can
like
do
that
plus 10.
I think it was 102 out the door
God,
or something.
Yeah.
All right.
Imagine a 600 horsepower Carrera T. It'd be dirty with a fucking diff and rear steer
for $110,000.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. amazing.
It'd be so fast.
That's amazing.
You'd probably run like 170, 180 and a half too. Be fucking fun.
Oh, I believe that.
That'd
yeah.
be super fun.
With 600, if it's 600 legit horsepower,
yeah.
for sure you would. Yeah.
Narrow body,
that's not
no
a heavy
wing.
Car.
Yeah.
Be it's awesome. Like a 3,200 pound car.
That'd be a hustle.
I think over
that'd
time
cool.
those will age very well.
Oh, yeah.
And
all 9-11s age well. Yeah, even the 996 is starting to age okay.
I don't know about that.
I said okay.
Magnus
profile's good.
Magnus bought a 996 for $5,000. And it's like an 04. It's like not even a shitty one.
It's the larger engine.
And he's basically been waiting for it to break. And it hasn't broken it. When he bought it, he's like, what's wrong with it? And the guy's like, nothing. He's like, no, really. What's wrong with it?
Right.
Like,
you
nothing.
Can tell me. I can fix it.
Yeah, I'll, and he's like, he just keeps driving it and it's not broken yet, which is shocking.
Well, good for him.
For $5,000, that's
what's
about,
he going to do with it when it breaks? Is he going to fix it or is he going to push it off a cliff?
Throw it in the garbage, probably. I don't know. I don't know. Man, what, that's that. It also, that just might be the kind of car that never breaks. It might be like the Keith Richards of 996s.
Right.
Just fucking keep going.
It knows who owns it and has respect for
it. I drove back to back. I drove a 996 GT3 and a 991 GT3. And it was like, all right, I see how they got here. Like with the 996, like I'm glad they took that step, but I'm glad we're not there anymore.
That engine's pretty sweet in the 996.
The engine is sweet, but it's like,
did you drive that red one?
It's lighter. It's too light in the front. It feels kind of weird. And the interior is just garbage. It's both aesthetically and usability. Everything was wrong about it. and I
all things about it were wrong.
It was just like it felt like they took a design out of a Versa, or just like these weird little melted piece of jelly beans with the horrible buttons.
No, it's like a Ford Taurus. Ford Taurus. It's like a 90s Taurus. They're like, let's do that. This is what everyone's
frog
doing.
Frog eye everything, guys.
Yeah, round, exactly. Just round buttons. You know, everything used to be square, and now we have the technology for round.
Are the shape of the 90s.
Exactly. They are.
And that's what that car feels like. It's so bad. It's so bad.
I was working at a Porsche Audi dealer when the 993 became the 996. So we had the very end of like Carrera 4S's still around, those nice wide body cars.
Wide bodies
and then
the
new 996 came in. At the time, you know, I had no nostalgia for air cooled. I didn't even really, I liked cars, but I didn't really know the difference or here's the old one and here's the new one. And I remember, you know, my experience was pretty much limited to kind of shuffling them around the lot, but just like, I was like, wow, this fucking 98 feels like it's 1,000 years old. This 99, it feels like it's a brand new car.
It's true. It's totally
true. And I remember kind of being like, I don't know if that's good. But because there was
it made you pause.
Yeah. It made me pause for a minute. But I didn't appreciate it at all until later.
Well, it's like the way the doors open and close on a 993 versus a 996. Mm-hmm. There's like no comparison.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no comparison. Yeah.
And what was at the time written off as like old and staid or whatever.
Right. And it was. It was ancient.
Yeah. But
by then
now,
it was ancient.
Now that's endearing.
Right.
That's like a thing we're actually seeking.
Right. It's unique and different.
Like I want it to. What's the what car can I buy that feels the oldest while being the newest?
Exactly.
Like I'm actually seeking that.
That's my goal. That's my goal in all of my fleet.
Yeah.
That, and I don't like wide cars. I can touch the door panel sitting in my car, in all of my cars, and touch the passenger side.
You can lock the passenger door while someone's
just
sitting there by
like
reaching
this.
Over.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like my 87 holds the same amount of shit as like a brand new one.
Right.
Actually, that's probably not true. The new ones will hold a little bit more. But fundamentally, two people and some stuff will fit in my 87 as well.
Your 87 what?
Safari. My Safari 911.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The daily,
yes.
As it were.
Is it your daily?
In theory, but between press cars and my scooter, like not really.
So you got rid of the 129?
I sold it. Yeah. I got every penny I put into it back.
That was a beautiful
car. It was. I bought the right car and was able to sell it pretty easily. I just saw it. The dude was local, and I was up at fucking Bill's in Malibu, and I was like, that looks like my car. Holy shit, it is. And we had a nice chat.
Are you going to go to Radwood?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you taking the Countach?
No. So, weird story. So, you know Art Cervantes, one of the Radwood guys?
No, I don't know.
I don't know how he arranged this, but he has a guy. Maybe he's a client. Maybe he's a something. Maybe he's a friend. I don't know who the fuck he is. I don't even know the guy's name. But
what are you going to drive, a Vector?
It's a Porsche 962.
Oh,
yeah,
a Chopin one?
It's a Koenig one, which is fucking weird. It's weird as hell.
That's cool.
It's that one. It's red.
Oh.
It's a Koenig C62, which is a Porsche 962C.
Dear Lord.
It makes 800 horsepower. I have absolutely no idea why the person wants me to drive this thing to Radwood.
But you'll take it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to the Porsche Experience Center where it's sitting right now. I'm going to pick it up there and then drive it to
badass.
Radwood. Yeah. And they let me make a video with it and shit, which I'm kind of about.
That's amazing. Are you going to do a one take on it?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, it's probably going
to
be like on the highway or whatever.
But
like,
yeah,
but
you'll do
silly.
A few pulls and it'll be hilarious.
It'll be fucking
crazy.
Yeah.
It'll sound amazing.
You know, I was at the Porsche Experience Center to pick up my car the other day, and they had a 962 engine on the stand. It's based on the 3.2 Carrera engine, and it will fit in a 911.
Really?
Yes.
It's an 8-cylinder, right?
No, the 962 is a 6-cylinder.
Oh, it is.
3.2.
Okay.
You're the.
I was thinking of a flat 8. I'm thinking of the 907.
The 908.
908.
Yeah, that's an 8.
917.
That's the interior of this thing. 917 is a 12. They were rebuilding a 917 and a 962.
Okay.
The 962. You get a brand new Porsche, a brand new crate engine from Porsche. It's $300K for a 962. You cannot get
deal.
You can't get a new 917 engine. They don't exist.
Right.
So if you this one, they had a cracked block, so they had to recast the block, which I believe is magnesium.
But what is that car worth? I mean, that car's going to be worth so much
money.
That's
what I said. I go, well, what does an engine rebuild cost on a 917? And he goes, well, it's not really a straight thing. He goes, because what's the car worth? And he goes, I don't know, $5 million? He goes, yeah, maybe. So
right.
The car is worth $5 million. What's
really
the
matter.
Engine
yeah,
worth?
Exactly.
You know, so the engine rebuild is
and it'll
a
probably
million.
Go up in value over the next 2 years to more than cover that.
Yeah, it's like $1 million for the engine rebuild.
Yeah, when I used to get my 993 serviced at Callis, they have 959s there.
Yeah.
And yeah, everything that comes in is like basically 30 to six figures.
Yeah, Jeff Swart.
But the cars were appreciating, so it's like, who cares?
That's, you know, Jeff Swart got one when they were much cheaper than they are now. And even, I talk to him about it all the time, he's like, even with the appreciation, he's like, the cost of owning a 959 is horrifying.
Yeah. It's like owning a fucking space shuttle.
Yeah. I mean, almost anything from Italy is mundane compared
to... Well, yeah, because it doesn't have the technology.
Yeah.
It has the complexity, but it doesn't have the technology.
Right. My car is very simple. The Countach is actually quite simple. I think Chris Harris was here last week, and he said he's had to do 2 belt services on his 512 TR, which... The 512
which is probably an engine out.
Belts.
Yeah,
yeah,
because
The belts are against the fucking bulkhead.
Right, so it's all engine out. Yeah,
car out.
Can we just say how insane it is that the car you're driving? So this is the 962 that they raced in this one bunch of things. So Patrick drove this at Rennsport, and we also filmed a video for it at Chuckwalla, and Alwyn Springer had to come out in a team to like take it out of the truck and get it going.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the one you're driving is the one they were like, No, we make a street version.
Yeah.
Like, totally.
You just turn the key.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Drive it.
Drive
it's got
it.
Air conditioning
parking.
And everything.
Yeah.
Let me show you how that works.
Ridiculous.
Right?
Really ridiculous.
That's cool.
That's hilarious.
It shot such a huge flame that I swear, I know I've told you this before, but he was on the back straight of Chuckwalla, and he's going across the thing, and we're watching it, and the flame was so big it went higher than the roof of the car. Like, out the back, like a smoke cloud, but it was just fire. And Alwyn's like, yeah, sometimes we do that for the pictures. You know, it's like, he definitely tuned
it's
it for
nice.
Fire.
It's a
verbal
it tune.
Huge.
He put the fire tune on it. Oh, I hope. Hey, Art, get your buddy to fucking throw the fire tune on this shit.
Dragon tune.
So the Countach won't be there.
No, I don't think so.
It's a bummer. I haven't seen
it. Are you going?
I'm thinking about it.
You bringing your whip?
I went to the one in Detroit. I went to Radwood Detroit in September.
Was it fun?
It was great. What was weird was I expected there to be more American cars, and there weren't. But then, you know, as many people have pointed out, well, the American cars of that era weren't that really wonderful, and nobody really kept them.
Yeah.
But it's also part of it, I think, is Detroit has so many other shows that cater to domestics that perhaps those people just go to those.
There's
and then Radwood is all – I mean, there were like 8 Corrados there. Like,
yeah,
but it also – parts
I imagine
of it,
them targeting a more – like it's. I don't want to say that there aren't American car enthusiasts, but like the Radwood crowd is a little more
different.
German and Japanese
stuff. Yeah, totally. And
although there was
a
pretty good American
it,
representation in L.A. last year.
Some of it looked like, you know, a mall parking lot, the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
But in Detroit, you don't see those cars, so it's unusual.
They're doing it. What the fuck is that thing?
That's a Fiesta. That's a European Fiesta.
That's
the first
awesome.
gen Fiesta.
Hold that over. That looks rad. The roll cage and shit.
I forget what engine it had. I think it had a ZTEC, like a 2-liter ZTEC in it.
Cool.
That thing was badass.
I
with
like
wide
that.
Fenders and
oh my god,
Ford
a pink
Motorsport
Aerostar. Red. Fucking hell, that is absolutely terrible.
And then what one was that? That Zagato Nissan.
Oh, the Autech, right?
Yes,
isn't that Myron Vernis'
yes,
car?
Exactly,
yeah, I mean,
exactly.
Myron rules. He's the...
Oh, there, go back one.
That's you, right?
Is that your car? There's
yeah,
your
that's my friend, my co-worker, Dave Beard's Geo Metro.
Lovely.
I mean, Geo
Tracker. That's
yeah.
a tracker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little lift on it.
Yeah.
And he drives it. He off-roads it. It's awesome. He bought it for a story and still has it.
That's so funny.
He bought it for a beater story. And
this
still has it.
Car, I think, was at the one out here last year.
That
right?
thing was super clean.
Doesn't it have oh, a? Nice. It's a 1UZ swap.
Is that not
no,
Andrew
that
Collins?
Was, I think that was stock.
Is that a
I think
car?
That was a stock one.
It
different
looks
car.
Like Andrew Collins is from Jalopnik. He's got one of those. That's a fun one. There's a Lincoln Town Car, Toyota Century. Oh, my God, a Isuzu V-Across.
Yeah, V-Across.
We were next to one of those in traffic the other day, you and I.
What a weird fucking car.
It's yellow.
Can you believe they built that?
I cannot.
What were you supposed to do with that?
Save the princess in Mario 5? I don't know.
It's weird.
It's weird.
It's a concept
it's cool,
car,
though.
Basically.
I drove one once. It drove like
a rodeo.
It was a rodeo,
it is a
basically.
Rodeo.
Was that a Rolls Royce with some type of big American engine?
Yes,
with a Viper motor?
With the Viper engine in it.
Whoa!
Corbin? No.
Apparently he bought the Rolls Royce for like next to nothing and then found this Viper
as
engine
you do.
And put them together. And
a broken Rolls Royce is a cheap one, right?
Yeah.
There's a kid, have you seen the kid driving around at the car shows around LA since you've been back who has like a really mint Rolls like that, like
no.
a Silver Spur 2 or something.
No, that sounds
and it's
nice.
Like 50,000 miles, you got it for like $7,000 and he's dailying it.
Nice.
And it's like nice. The wood and leather are all nice and it works. I like that Sierra Cosworth right there. That's excellent.
That's cool.
Those just took a huge jump.
Did they?
Those
are
second
rare.
You could import those.
Really?
They took a massive
jump. Those are rare.
Yeah.
I mean, a Mitsubishi Eclipse can outperform it, but, you know.
Have you ever driven one?
No, I've never driven one.
They look way cooler than a Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just saw a picture of this.
You're seeing the Inland Empire parking lot.
Yeah,
here.
Right? Remember when we had to do power seat belts in this country?
Yeah,
the fucking rails.
When you didn't have a airbag,
and you can buy a Ferrari F40 that has those. Do you think they got rid of those? Do you think if people who owned F40s,
would convert kit?
To
probably I would
Euro
hope so.
Seat bright?
I would hope so. I would hope they did that by now.
Yo, you know what? Speaking of 80s shit, you know what we just learned last night? You know I've got this Mitsubishi Delica van.
Yeah, the little van,
the best. Yeah. Right? I just learned. On the back, on the tailgate of the van, it says Delica, like in the light bar across. But I just learned it's backlit and actually lights up the word Delica. And I learned it because DEL, the light bulbs are out. So it says ICA right now. But I had the lights. I was like, oh shit. I was so excited because it actually lights up Delica in the back. So Vinny Russo is on the case. We got new light bulbs coming.
My buddy who had the Geo Tracker, we were standing, we parked and then some kid came up. And was like, Geo, like, what is this? Like,
oh,
what's
no.
a Geo tracker?
Great
and
question.
And I was like,
how old did you feel?
This is actually, I was like, this is a Suzuki. And like, you know, I explained to him, like, there was this brand called Geo that they sold in Chevy stores. And then I was like, how old are you? And he was like, I was born in 2001.
Yeah, right?
Like, oh, God.
Yeah. I just hired multiple people to work for me.
That were born this century. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that the other day. I will have lived in this century longer than I lived in the 20th century in like 2022 or 2023.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
you know what's weird? People are starting to ask me about like best shit of the decade, or people starting to ask you about your favorite cars and whatnot of the decade.
No.
Or like, maybe that's just fucking my interaction with social media. But like everything I think of actually happened like last decade. People were like, what's the most important car of the decade?
So
and I was like, I don't know, probably like the Prius. And they're like, Prius came out in 97.
Like,
yeah. Yes, stop right there, Zach. I need that in my life right now.
The Geo Tracker concept
car. Yeah, that's old man time.
Is that the concept?
It's one of.
I mean, it's got a chopped roof.
Look at those wheels.
It's got the right wheels, doesn't it? Those wheels are excellent. Those wheels look a lot like the wheels that ended up on my Mustang.
It's some really interesting shit on this page.
The mouth on it looks like Bow Wow's car from Tokyo Drift.
It's got like a squint. It's got, you know, fender flares it doesn't need. And the door seems to be a different color than the fender next to it.
It looks like the Japanese team at Suzuki and the American team at Geo got into a fist fight and couldn't agree on whether their car was going
to
be super Japanese
car they were gonna take to
or
SEMA.
Super America. And they ended up with the worst of all concepts. That one,
look at that.
That one's great.
Oh, I like that. I like the wheels on that
one. I like the body kit, the wheels. That one's very friendly. It's like a Barbie Suzuki Geo Tracker. Although that little vent thing on the side of the hoods, right in front of the door, always made it look like the hood was never quite on right.
These
are
all
stereo
speakers. Well, okay. This is a Geo Tracker with musical notes painted on the side. And then it has a giant stereo in the back with six speakers pointing backwards, but then it has subwoofers pointing down into it, and then posts that have what, one, two,
like loud three, hailer speakers,
like loud hailer speakers, and then more of them on the roof. Well, I don't know,
Hemmings.
Man.
But more importantly, the wheels that were on it appeared in the GMC Yukon Denali 20 years later. Actually, wow,
what the hell is that?
This is what happens when you turn a kid into a car. And this
here's
is
a
like
tracker camping concept. It's
wearing
got
a backpack,
like a tent thing. I imagine this is like the thing that covers the window in your E30. That's hilarious that you have a thing that covers your plastic window in your
I'll
E30.
I'll show it to you. It's impressive.
That's awesome. I really would like to try that car, man.
You should drive it.
Remember when GM was coming out with concepts like that, Zach, in the early 90s, where they were just like, you know what, we don't need center sections in our doors.
Well, yeah. That's like the Senna.
And McLaren adopted it later.
The Senna.
And so did Polaris with their razors.
The color combination of this. How many? Look, this is like, it's green, and it's also pink and purple, but also
it's
orange.
It's all day-glow colors. Like,
yep.
That's what was in.
Highlighters,
you could probably win
problem.
Radwood with that.
The future was so bright, I got to wear shades.
When I rolled into the Radwood in Michigan, I couldn't find the venue. So I was wandering around, and then this Bronco 2, beautiful Bronco 2, pulled up next to us and was like, hey, you guys trying to make it to Radwood? I think it's over here. So we all drove in together, so I parked next to him. But that guy won the best domestic car.
With the Bronco 2?
Yeah,
with
the Bronco 2. He had this
beautiful
Bronco 2.
Fucking Vinny went over to look at a Beretta Indy, a Chevy Beretta Indy.
Was it yellow?
It was teal. And had 100,000 miles on it, and the guy was asking $2,000 for it. And Vinny was like, I'm getting this for $1,200. I don't know what came of it. He might just return home the next 2 days with this fucking car.
Oh, God. Is he married?
Vinny? No.
Oh, okay.
No, a wife would never go.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I asked.
Although my wife went for the van, so, and she loves it. So,
well, but
it's nicer anyway. Than
but that doesn't right. take away, that street. Doesn't take up that much space.
The van?
Yeah.
Takes up a parking space.
Well, I mean, it's really small.
It's the van?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not a K van.
Oh, it's not a K van.
No, it's
oh,
not
I thought
a K
Delicas
van.
Were K vans.
No, it's a pretty short wheelbase, and like by minivan standards,
right.
like it's small.
Right.
But
it's not a microcar.
No, gotcha. No. It's a six seater, full on six seater.
Yeah, I saw them. We did a story last year at the end of last year about the 25-year rule mm-hmm. and importing cars, and mm-hmm. we saw what's his name down at.
Sean.
Yeah, yeah, Sean in Orange County.
You might have seen my van.
Yeah,
there
was a Delica there. There was
He's
a Delica
two.
There. Yeah.
He had mine, and then the other one he had was mine's an Exceed, and he had the Super Exceed. Also, the Super Exceed has the Crystal Light roof, which is what the glass roof was called. Crystal Light.
What?
Seriously.
So it's a glass roofed.
It's a Delica with a glass roof.
Okay.
It's a Crystal Light. But but that one weighs.
That doesn't seem like what you'd want.
I didn't want it at all.
You're
no,
just
I
baking
mean,
that.
Yeah, you're like in an oven, right. And also it weighs 400 pounds more.
Oh, yeah.
At the worst possible place you'd want it to weigh 400 pounds more. Do you have a picture of a Crystal Light roof, though, Zach, if you can find one? Look up Delica Super Exceed.
Yeah, you were suffering from old man time. It only gets worse. Like, you think, like, oh, that was 5 years ago, or that was 2 years ago, and it was, like, 10 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, right? When the time gets shorter together.
Yeah.
So where's the Crystal Light roof? That one, the white one on the second row has it. Yeah, all those have it. You can see you can kind of see it from the side. They wrap the glass around the side.
Oh, yeah, I see
yeah,
it.
That's a
I
Super Exceed. But I don't know. I don't think I want that shit. Apparently, the regular Exceed with the non-glass roof is more desirable, and yay.
What have you done with it?
1552 wheels, and then see on this photo the front brush guard and the steps are all white and
oh,
heinous.
Is that your car?
No.
Oh.
But mine were white like that. Mine is that Mitsubishi gray color, that great Mitsubishi gray
right
color
there,
like that.
That two-tone?
Yeah, and so we got these 1552 wheels in powder coated them gray, and then we blasted all the brush guards and shit to match those.
Ooh.
Which was great. And then we did a Clarion stereo with like Bluetooth and CarPlay and nice speakers and all that shit. And then I got new curtains. Tomorrow we're having the new
oh
new
yeah
curtains
yeah
put
there's
in.
Curtains all the way around the side.
Yeah, that's it. It's only got 43,000 kilometers.
Did you get new carpet too?
Oh no, we're not. We're having it steam clean though at the end of this week. But lastly, I had a local shop do the timing belt service, which is a water pump and a timing belt. So I probably put like $1,500 into it.
That's
since I got
much.
It. But like
That's
it should just run for, I mean, it should, yeah. I don't see why it wouldn't run just fucking forever.
And parts are probably plentiful for it.
All the consumables and all the stuff like that is shared with a Montero, basically. So the shocks and the brakes and the blah, 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 all that shit. But, like, I needed a speedometer cable, and that it took like 2 weeks to get that.
Oh, but so it's still available.
There it is. There's my van. So you can see I got the 1552 cool. wheels. And you can see, flip through the different pictures, Zach. So the brush guards are way better matching the color of the wheels now. 1552 hooked it up. Falcon tire hooked it up. And see on the back where it says Delica across the middle? That shit is that all light up. Yes.
But now it says Ica.
It just says Ica right now. And then I think if you click one more picture, Zach, right there it says Delica Star Wagon, the special gear for 4x4 runners. Which means fucking nothing. I don't even know what that means.
That's just,
they didn't have anyone check their English.
Well, no, that's just using English as design. Yeah. That's all that is.
Yeah. It's fucking so mint. I love that thing. I love my little van. It's great fun. Hannah's living driving it, too.
Dude, it's great. We cruise around Hollywood in it, and like the captain's chairs behind the front seats to rotate around, so everyone could just like talk to each other in the back
and
it,
play cards.
Yeah, and it feels small enough to maneuver around traffic and whatnot.
The turning radius is amazing.
Right, it's basically a cab forward.
Yeah,
What is it?
Cab over.
Cab over.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. Hey, folks, if you want to ask us some questions, get in the super chat because we're going to do that for a few minutes. Before we end this show, and I take that van of mine to see Joe Rogan tonight at the Comedy Store.
Oh, excellent. So you're going to Hollywood.
We are going to go to Hollywood tonight, cool. Which is not something I like doing. But
yeah, it wasn't fun driving out here.
No, it sucks balls, but I'm sorry.
No, you could have helicoptered here, Tony,
and then
rode back,
you guys back
with Matt.
What do we got, Zach? Anything? How do we convince Toon Squad says, how do we convince manufacturers to add wheel travel, increase sidewall, and soften suspension in performance cars, or are the marketers in control? How do we make our cars ride better and increase suspension travel? Tony, do you have any suggestions for...
It's expensive. I mean, because, I mean, like we were talking about, the 720S rides beautifully,
mm-hmm.
but...
Cost a lot of money to make it do that
system. Yeah.
I mean, would it also mean that the manufacturers would have to be okay with their cars like running a slower lap time or not cornering at a higher G than, you know, the one that they did years ago?
Yeah, I mean, most consumers wouldn't care. There'd probably be a bigger benefit if things rode better, but, you know, for the hardcore enthusiasts, they always want the most extreme stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is the average enthusiast customer does not want to give up their toys. And I mean, they don't want to give up the technology in the cars that adds all this weight and bulk and that they then have to go make the suspensions really stiff to compensate for that to get your performance. So I think as long as until the customer decides that they're going to start only ordering base model cars with cloth seats to get the weights down, like I think manufacturers, dealers, the people in charge of getting cars in your hands are really just going to, they're just going to keep getting heavier and it's just going to keep getting worse.
Yeah, it's like the previous generation 911, you could get it on, the base car you can get on 19s, but I'm sure a ridiculous percentage, probably 80% or more, ordered it on 20s.
Right.
Because it looks a little better.
And yeah.
That's what people are into.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can downsize your own wheels. You know, a lot of times you can buy a car and downsize the wheels and they'll still fit. But I think with the performance cars, they're not going to get softer unless you start looking at the mid-engine cars, and that's where they can have the geometries to make them work better, a little more versatile. Eli says, what cars, can you unhighlight that, Zach? It's making it harder. What cars do you really enjoy but are embarrassed to like or be seen in? Asking for my, what is, I can't read that, Zach.
He's asking for his skinny 30-year-old lefty, let's call him a friend, who drives a C6 Z06. That's actually what the person said. Let's say,
what's wrong with
friend.
The Z6, Z06?
I don't know. What cars?
I commented, put something in the comments about this. You know, I'm pretty left-leaning, but like to do burnouts in Murica cars. And he was like, what he was trying to say is his friend, you know, votes one way, but is driving a car more associated with a different side of the political spectrum in his eyes.
Oh man!
So are there any
really
things
thinks
that
his car is saying a lot about?
He does,
him.
Which, you know, it's just a car. Like it doesn't
people
really
don't care.
I think people don't care that much. Yeah, but I mean, like Jason Camisa's fucking bitch basket Cabrio, right?
Like, which handles amazingly well.
Oh, yeah, I saw
well.
That one take. That was a good one
it
take.
Fucking burns corners, dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's a psychopath when he drives it through the corners.
And, like, yeah, in theory, like, all right, like, I guess, I don't know, do I want to not be seen in a Miata? Like, no, I don't give a shit. Look at me in a Miata. What's the difference? Like, I don't.
He drives so well.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people call Boxsters hairdressers' cars. Like, right, yo, I'll drive a Boxster. Like, give me that Boxster. Like, that's dope. That's fun.
Would you drive a first-gen SLK?
Oof.
No, but they don't drive well.
I'm embarrassed to be seen in it.
Fair enough.
No, yeah, no. Like, I wouldn't drive a Land Rover Defender either, but not because I don't want to be seen in it, because they're piles of shit.
How about a Geo Tracker?
All day.
Yes.
All day. The tealer, the better.
Nice.
Make that shit look like a Solo cup. No, I don't know. What I mean...
I don't know.
Are there
That's
any
not
cars
a problem
that
I can really relate to.
No, any car that I like,
I find something
I'd be happy
interesting
to be
about
seen
all
in.
Cars.
Yeah. So. And any car you like, you'd be happy to be seen driving around in, because if people go, "Why are you driving that?" you'd have a dozen reasons why. Right.
Like 6.2 Raptor is, you know, working against a lot of, like, my climate ideas.
Right.
So that's one where you're like, if I'm not taking this somewhere where there's dirt, if I'm not doing with it what it should be done.
If you're commuting in it,
then I feel like a little bit of a shithead. But,
fair.
You know.
Yeah.
That's one.
Yeah, if you were commuting in a sportsmobile, you'd like the sportsmobile.
Right, yeah, 650
years. You'd be a little silly.
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel that. R. Cummins, was that right? I'm buying one of these two cars soon, and I'm having a tough time deciding which. What is a better buy at $90,000? A Cayman GT4 with 10,000 miles, or a 997.1 GT3 with 30,000 miles? Interesting question.
How many miles are on the Cayman?
10. Performance is similar. The performance lap times of those cars are going to be similar. They're going to feel about as fast as each other.
I'd get the 991 GT3.
Yeah. 9971 GT3.
Oh, I'm sorry, 9971 GT3.
I would
still
too.
Get that.
The gearing is better.
That engine is really special.
That engine
in a way
is really
that
special.
The GT4's engine is not, even though the GT4 is probably going to be quicker on a canyon road, maybe. Yeah. Or you'll at least be more brave in it.
But, yeah.
The engine in that is so special.
And also a 30,000 mile 997-1 that is depreciated to 90K. Is unlikely to drop substantially below that.
Right. And like it's if a 911, car, which is important to some people.
Like if you put 70,000 miles on that car, and it was now a 9971 GT3 with 100,000 miles on it, it's worth 70.
Right.
And you've driven those 70,000 miles for like $20,000. And that's a great value. To get 70,000 miles for $20,000 in a car like that.
And that car's probably rarer than the GT4, than a Cayman GT4.
I don't know about that.
Well, but didn't the new Cayman, the new GT4
have a
flat six?
They didn't make a lot of
997
GT3s. They didn't start making a lot of GT3s until 991.
Really? Yeah. I haven't run the numbers, but I would probably go GT3.
Same here.
Yeah.
I had to zoom out for this weird thing. Can't. Someone says, do you guys remember the Oldsmobile Intrigue OSV concept?
No.
No, but
I remember the Intrigue.
The Oldsmobile Intrigue OSV. What is OSV?
What could OSV stand for?
A design to hint at a... Whoa, look at that fucking thing. Supercharged 3.5-liter V6, 260 horsepower, 260 pound-feet. That's a concept.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's
it was
for sale.
It was for
sale.
For $20,000.
$20,000, buy it now. I mean...
Not bad looking.
It's not bad looking.
Side skirts.
I've seen uglier cars.
That's good Radwood.
I mean, I think that's a really interesting piece of history for $20,000 for someone to buy. They did. Remember when Carroll Shelby built the Series 1 and put that Oldsmobile Aurora engine in it?
Yeah, he put the 4-liter V8.
It's the next Cobra.
You were driving Aurora? I never drove an Aurora.
Yeah, my first Lemons car was an Aurora with the V8, which was selected because... they could run without coolant, and I figured the car would probably lose its coolant during its race. Yeah.
Was that a thing?
Yeah, the North Star and what they called the Short Star, which was the 4-liter Aurora engine, could run without coolant. And it alternated cylinders.
Wait,
so it would run as a V4.
Was that actually a selling point, that it could run without coolant?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like sawing a Boston Whaler in half? It's like, just in case. So if you
drain
you've got
all
a hole,
the coolant,
you could still run it.
Yeah.
For how long?
I think for a long time.
Really?
Yeah. And it only made, like, it made some ridiculously paltry amount of horsepower, like 60 horsepower or something.
But it would get you
still,
there.
Yeah, it would get you there. And it
That's
cooled
hilarious.
Itself by alternating firing and, you know.
Really? Yeah. I'd never heard about any of that.
So that was my first Lemons car. That's a spectacular car.
The Aurora was such an interesting car. I mean,
it was really nicely made, too.
Well, Oldsmobile really went hard at the paint in this. Doesn't say Oldsmobile anywhere on that car.
Nope.
And at the time, I remember, like, I went to a pretty ritzy school, private school, and a couple kids' dads got these when they were brand new, and it was kind of like, ooh, they got the Aurora.
Right.
It was sort of like the thing.
It was like
it did its job, too, right? It kept Oldsmobile going for a minute. It was not a failure.
I mean, there was a second gen one that was really depressing and bad.
But the first gen one was really cool. They sold a bunch of.
Yeah, I think they did pretty well for like a year or two.
I mean, considering it was a fucking... Wow, the interior is just terrible.
Press photos have changed quite a bit. This is very funny.
Boy, is that dramatic.
Yeah, very dramatic.
Guys, we're going to have to mask some of these gaps here.
Guys, we're filming the Godfather hit scene in this interior.
That's the second gen one.
That's like, that was like fucking Larry Chen shot.
It had these beautiful, like, because the plastic covers fell off of the bumpers, and it had these beautiful extruded aluminum bumper supports. Like, the whole car was just really expensive looking.
It's not aged well, unfortunately.
Ours ran on like 7 cylinders for the whole race. That was the first Lemons,
first Lemons race.
We finished 16th or whatever,
right?
We pushed the road and track team had a Corolla, and we pushed them across the finish line because their differential seized.
Look at this shifter on this thing. It's like this clunky ass accordion.
It's huge.
Terrible knockoff of the Lexus LS.
For a while, the Wikipedia entry on the Aurora had that I had raced, like Car and Driver had raced an Aurora in Lemons. I don't know if it's still there.
But look, it's a driver-focused interior, you know? It's canted towards, it's like a cockpit.
Yeah. It was amazing. The air conditioning worked and the one I drove.
You can see some C8 Corvette in that.
The power steering went, which would made it very difficult to turn, but
it probably had the most overboosted power steering ever. Fucking transverse V8.
It was transverse, right? 4 liter, all aluminum V8.
Oh my god, that shifter is so depressing.
It's so big.
Oh. It's so corny.
It's so good. It's like a Saab shifter.
I love it.
It's like a handhold if you go rock climbing and they have like an easy wall. It's just your hand will not miss this shifter. This is all fingers
so
can be used.
Oh man, we should do some more Lemons racing. We should buy another seat in the Lemons car. Look at the sculpting on that dash. Oh boy.
Round.
Well, it's like the new Corvette.
90s cab forward designs. Aurora versus Chrysler 300M. I think the Chrysler wins that one. 300M was kind of sweet. Remember when they put the body kit on it? It's kind of hot.
I'm going to go Aurora.
You're going to go Aurora over Chrysler 300M?
Over that crappy 3.5
over
liter
V6.
Yeah.
253 horsepower. Look at the body kit one in the middle, the special edition. Yes.
That's pretty nice.
Right? I like that.
Looks like they took a body kit from another car and then like this
I know.
Works.
They never painted the body kit. The body kit was gray.
The people listening to this podcast think we're insane.
It's like 2 days before Radwood. Go fuck yourself. You know what I was talking about? Shit piles from the 90s? Listen to a different show. We can go listen to the Joe Rogan I did, and we did like 20 minutes on why the internet's bad for people. You want to listen to some other shit? Go ahead. We talked about fucking hunting and stuff. This is where we talk about shit piles.
That's amazing.
I hate Pinter so much. It always loses me, but look at that.
The hood scoop really makes that.
The hood scoop. It's got the fender holes. It's got your body kit. They painted it, though.
And they put 2012 on that. That's not correct. Anything else from the people before we call this a show?
That's not correct.
Let's say.
Is there any hope of manufacturers swinging back to naturally aspirated motors as electrification becomes more affordable and packageable?
Oh, meaning like...
getting away from turbo.
Right.
Like
instead of
having
the money
an
NA
motor with a hybrid system as opposed to the complexity of a turbo engine?
I mean, that's
certainly
Prius
a way
does.
To go. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you're going to have like... Let's see. What car with... I mean, if they do, it would be paired with some type of hybrid system, so it's not like it would all of a sudden become some sort of driver's car again.
Probably not, and I don't see them making a performance hybrid with an NA engine.
I think
it would
the
be
answer
Prius,
to this question is
Ioniq.
No.
It would be that kind of thing, and maybe Mazda would do something. But
Mazda's really committed to the NA thing.
And if they did it, they would probably just do it like a rear. a rear axle motor to make all-wheel drive.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like
some ridiculous performance.
They do it like lame, like the Honda Insight, where it's like the really crappy hybrid system. I like what
the current Insight, not the original one, the current one, the IMA one.
Yeah, I like this 48-volt mild hybrid thing. Have you driven any a bunch of cars that have that?
I've driven the Benzes with it.
In the Audis, it doesn't drive like a hybrid. It drives just like a regular gas car, but it does add some power in helping spool up pre-turbo. You know?
Right.
And then it also, it makes the start stop like, really fast.
Yeah. The start stop with the i6, the new Benz i6 is really sweet.
Yeah, it's like finally start stop is at a point where it's not annoying and laggy. I feel kind of a dick. When I first drove, the first ever start stop car I drove was a prototype Bosch BMW 1 Series diesel hatch in like 07. It was a manual. And like, you'd come to a stop and you'd put it in neutral, shut off, and then you'd put it in gear first. And I went, this is fucking genius. Do this with everything. But then they started putting it on loud cars. And I was like, oh no. I don't want this to shut off and then just start at the light. And so I only kind of like it with quiet cars. But the RS6 is quiet enough. It's not a shouty startup.
Right.
And it starts up so fast. It's like one half a crank and it fires.
No, it's immediate.
Yeah.
It's cool. Like it was never off.
Yeah. And with 48 volt, the air conditioning compressor and the power steering pump keep going when you're stopped. That's a big one, because a lot of cars I've driven, even very nice cars, you pull up to a stop, engine turns off, the fucking air conditioning compressor shuts off too.
So it blows.
You don't get air conditioning when you're sitting red light. What the fuck is that bullshit?
Right.
That's fucking stupid. $130,000 car. So yeah, it fixes that.
Have you driven a car with the electric turbocharger? Mercedes has one, right?
Yeah, I've driven the CL. What is it? The CLS 53 and the AMG GT 53 with it.
Is that cool?
Yeah. I mean, you don't notice it.
You don't notice it?
It just feels like a really quick car, really responsive, quick car.
They're doing so much
to
mask turbo's flaws.
Yep.
We're spending like so much time and energy masking the flaws of turbos. It's very interesting. But no one's really doing the sequential turbos anymore, right? We've pretty much abandoned that because
the 94 Supra had it.
I always liked, whenever I drove tuner Supras or tuner Skylines from back in the day, I always liked when they kept it with the twins and they didn't go to the singles. Much more drivable, usable power.
Yeah, because otherwise you're just waiting, and it explodes.
I'll take 200 less horsepower, but a 2,000 wider power band all day.
Right.
All day. What are you going to do with
that? The one we filmed in New Zealand, right?
Oh, the best.
Like 700 horsepower R34?
700 horsepower at the wheels with twins. I mean, perfect.
That was ready to go.
All right. Well, that's our show, folks. Do you want to plug anything before we get out of here? Car and driver?
No, I came here to talk about 10 Best, and I totally forgot.
Whoops. Oops.
So.
And we thought we brought up Lightning Lap, and you're like, that wasn't me. What else is going on?
Yeah, I came to talk about
what's
10 Best.
What's your 10 Best stuff?
Call up 10 Best. We can go through it quick.
Yeah.
But this year, for the first time, usually we just pick 10 Best cars, and then we had a separate truck award. But this year, we combined cars and trucks. Because, you know, more than half the market's now trucks and SUVs and crossovers. So we combined them. And so we ended up picking 5 cars and 5 trucks and SUVs.
Okay.
So it's, those are.
So here we go. Let's see. The Honda Accord.
Duh.
For what, the 30th year in a row?
Yeah. Now, it missed like 97, 98.
Oh, it did?
But other than that, it's been on there
first
since
got bulbous?
It was out with an injury, though. That's why.
718 Boxster Cayman. Do we include all the variants? Does that include all the variants combined?
It doesn't include the GT4 and the Spider.
Okay.
So that is everything up to GTS. Our price cap is $90,000.
Got it. Corvette, C8 Corvette, yep. Jeep Gladiator, Macan S/Macan Turbo.
We've never driven the base 2-liter Macan, so we couldn't.
I drove
that
one.
Was it good?
Not horrible.
Yeah, that's a great engine. I don't know why they don't put it in the press fleet, but they never put them in the press fleet. No one on staff has driven one.
My friend has a Macan S and got one as a service loaner, and we took it to Cobb and we put a tune on it, and it was nice. It was pretty good.
Yeah, because it's the Audi engine. Yeah. I mean, it's terrific.
Yeah,
it's
we gave it back with the tune on it. Never said anything to anybody. Some got a nice little bonus out of that. Yeah. Free
extra
HPs.
50 horsepower.
Free HPs. No big deal. But it actually, you know, for just doing bullshit around the city.
Yeah,
fine.
I would imagine it's a great engine. That engine works well in everything. And the Macan isn't so ridiculously heavy that it's going to ruin
it. It was totally fine.
Because I've driven that engine in a Q7, and that was totally fine, too. Yeah. It wasn't quick, but it was
fine. If you don't care about, like, if you're the kind of driver that, like, doesn't go full throttle,
no, if you don't go hot, it's fine. It's got plenty of low-end power.
Mazda CX-5, now with a turbo engine, despite what we just said.
Yeah.
Ram 1500. Toyota Supra, Kia Telluride, and the Volkswagen Golf and Jetta.
Yeah, we combine them. Same powertrain.
GTI/GLI platform. Yeah. I don't know.
Have you driven the Telluride?
Yeah, I did, actually.
I love that
It's
car.
Nice.
It's such a nice car.
It's pretty nice. I don't know about Supra.
No? You don't like the Supra?
You know, it made a pretty good first impression the first time I drove it. And then when I drove it at P. Cody, it did not.
It fell apart.
Mm-hmm. And
it's a good road car. It's fun on the road.
It's fine.
And it's really quick. And the value's there versus like Z4 and a lot of other sports cars. And
it's fine.
It's quick.
It's fine.
It's really small inside is what bugs me. It's tiny inside.
Yeah. I think overall I agree with most of your choices.
Gladiator was a little controversial with some staffers.
Why specifically Gladiator?
Because we had a discussion about, like, often we pick a lot of what are third cars for people. Mm-hmm. Like Miata was on the list for a long time. The Boxster is on the list, and that's basically a third car for a lot of people. And Gladiator is a spectacular third car. It's a pickup. It's a convertible. It does a lot of things. Mm. And you can drive it every day. It's probably the first 10 best car that I can remember that we've chosen that wasn't like dynamically very good.
Yeah.
But it has so many other attributes that we really like about it.
That's a good point.
That we picked it.
I haven't had a Gladiator yet. I don't know if I want to get one. I kind of just want to get a new regular Wrangler because I don't think it'll fit in my garage. Actually.
It's long.
It's long.
It's really long.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I understand that they needed to have four seats and that they wanted to have a bed of a certain length,
right.
But the resulting vehicle
is very long.
Yeah.
Probably means it's the most stable Wrangler-ish thing on
the
highway.
Is the wheelbase
though.
Longer?
Like,
as
it's like a foot longer,
okay.
Or like 14 inches longer. It's crazy long.
Yeah,
isn't your garage double? Don't you park two cars?
Yeah, but I need to park two cars.
Oh,
there.
I could. Right.
We have the Hennessy 6x6 is at the fucking shop right now. If I want to kick a car out of my garage, I can bring that shit to my house. Thing is fucking stupid fun. No, I get the rest of your list. C8 makes sense. I think the Ram is the best truck right now. I agree with you there.
The Kia
Telluride is fantastic. I agree with you there. Zach really liked the Accord very much.
Very good car.
You drove
Accord Sport.
Yeah.
It's good.
I think the Macan is the best crossover that you can buy. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on all of that.
And then inexpensive crossovers, CX-5, that's sort of our pick.
I haven't driven CX-5 turbo. Is it awesome?
Yeah, it's terrific. It's really quick. That engine doesn't make a lot of high-end power. It's all low-end power.
Yeah.
So the party's done by like 4,500, 5 grand. But for the customers, people that buy that, they're not going to redline it. You'll notice it too.
Yeah. No, but I mean, when I got the CX-5 when it came out, I was like, this thing is so sweet, but it's kind of slow.
Yeah. No, so. The NA engines are slow. Yeah, I just drove... when is this airing? Oh, I guess this is airing now.
Next week.
I can't talk about my drive impressions. I just drove CX-30 and Sonata N-Line.
I mean,
but I can't talk.
I mean, you can. No one will really care.
No,
it's fine. Come back and talk about it again.
329 people will hear the story.
Yeah. Yes, and they'll tell all their friends.
Yeah.
So 600 people. Well, no.
That's unkind.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
On newsstands right now. Is that the deal?
Soon. Yeah, we made the announcement at LA Show. So the story's online, but it'll be hitting subscribers like now.
Buy print magazines, people. Keep our friends working. Keep
it's
me
not
working.
Expensive to
keep
subscribe.
Tony working. Yeah,
it's so
not.
Inexpensive
it's
to
really
subscribe.
Cheap.
Yeah.
And we really put our hearts and a lot of love into it. So.
Yeah.
It's a better reading experience for me.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's great for the toilet.
And yep. And also, car magazines are not run by like all fucking old guys anymore.
No,
like, our contemporaries run this shit now.
I'm getting kind of old.
You're getting old, but you have a good taste in cars, so you're cool. I want to check. I'm gonna go outside and check out your E30. That looks awesome.
Thanks for having me.
I definitely have an E30 on my near term list.
This will definitely put it on your short term list.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Tony.
Yep.
That's Tony Quiroga from Car and Driver. We are not recording the remainder of this week or next week. I'm going to South Carolina to shoot some quail with my dad.
Cool.
White people. I'm sorry. There's no way around it. We are doing some white people
shit. Pronounced white when you.
White people. Yeah. Down in South Carolina. I'm going to have a little family time. But I'll see you guys. We'll be back, actually, for the week before Christmas. And we'll have some new guests. And I can't actually remember who's on the calendar, but fuck it. It don't matter to Jesus. That's all show for tonight. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All you need is a microphone, a connection to the internet, and ideally something to say. Oh, we got my doctor, right? I booked him. The week I get back, my spine doctor who did my spine surgery is going to be coming on, Dr. Robert Watkins. He's probably the best spine surgeon in Los Angeles. He's hundreds of professional athlete clients, and he's going to be talking about spinal health with driving.
Cool.
And I think that's actually going to be, never do like topical shows, but that's going to be a topical show. That's going to be the 19th. All right, guys. Good night. Have a good show. What the fuck am I talking about? I must be brain fired. Bye. Thank you.